right, here we go. We did it. We did another one. How about it? Thank you so much for downloading our podcast from Italy. My name is Jason. I'm joined by Ashley.
Ciao, tutti.
And together we run, own, operate La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo and cooking school in Piobico, Italy, central Italy here. Beautiful little Piobico. We also have a marketing, what would you?
Marketing, films, and consulting. No half measures.
Doing the radio voice again. Doing the radio voice.
You I love the morning zoo.
Please don't do that.
I won't.
Today is the 21st of September, a beautiful Wednesday morning. It is 8:27 in the a.m. We've gotten a little bit of chores done. Woke up early. The birds are chirping. Fat cats are sleeping.
And Gaji's raring to go.
Gaji is raring.
He's disgusted we're doing a podcast instead of Jason out in the garden.
Well, there's the gardens. Late summer slipped very quickly into autumn, didn't it?
Yes, it is. Would you say autumn's at our doorstep or has arrived?
No, it's at our doorstep.
I think so, too.
The rest of the week is supposed to be nice. So the air has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the earlier trees are starting to lose their leaves.
We had a warm, wet September day that felt like Seattle about a week ago. And then the air changed after that. And that warm kind of air, even if it was cloudy or rainy, moved on. And there's that nip. And sure enough, right on time yesterday, beep, beep, familiar honk of Pier Angelo delivering the wood.
So yeah,
the wood
came. So that means that autumn is on its way.
It's time to start stacking.
The tomatoes are done. I pulled up the poles that hold up the tomatoes yesterday. The peppers didn't turn. I don't know what happened with the peppers.
Yeah,
this year.
The hell? They were tiny.
I don't know what happened with the peppers this year. Well, not a good pepper year. The beans are done.
No, if you see photos, they're on Facebook or Instagram. Little insider note, they're going to be last year's photos of the peppers.
The spicy peppers, jalapenos and pepperoncini did really well. But, yeah, the zucchini's done. The pumpkins did horrible. Tomatoes did good.
Yeah, they did really good.
They did well.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about, we've got Brussels sprouts in this year. Yeah, I love the Cavolo Bruxelles.
So the cabbages, all the cabbages we have down are looking really, really nice. They're healthy and strong. Let's see. So what do we have left in the garden now? We have all the cabbage family. So we have three types of head cabbage. We have the black cabbage or kale. We have
kale.
Kale. We have Brussels sprouts. We have two types of cauliflower, fennel, and broccoli.
The Romanesco?
Well, that's the two types of cauliflower.
Oh, okay. The Romanesco's in the cauliflower, not broccoli family?
They're all in the cabbage family.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true.
They're all in the cabbage family. Then we have two types.
Romanesco are those cool pointy ones,
The pointy mm-hmm. cauliflowers, green in color. Mm-hmm. They can be several different colors, but
they're normally kind of fluorescent-y.
Green. Mm-hmm. And then we have two types of radicchio, the long and the ones that form the ball.
The one last night was so pretty.
Yeah, in the radicchio doesn't you don't have to cook it. If you pick it early or get it young, throw it in the salad and it's still tender and it gives a really nice bittery
cut
crunchy.
It really like thin slices, because that, and just kind of add it in with the rest of your lettuce and stuff. It is beautiful. I love it.
Now most people know the hard ball radicchio that you see,
purple,
the purple one, and that is of course radicchio, but there are 100 types of radicchio, from ones that are pale yellow with beautiful violet spots, mm-hmm. to long radicchio, to lighter violets, to, I mean, there's 1,000 different kinds, and they range in taste from very, very bitter and very fibrous to super soft and really sweet, like the radicchio di Treviso. That is really...
That's a more kind of long purple with kind of ruffled edges.
Ruffled tops. It's uh-huh. really pretty and delicate. And that you always see it with the knob, knob at the bottom.
It looks like a cork on the bottom.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how they grow it. But it does really well just in that little area.
Of Treviso.
In Treviso. We can't grow it here because we don't have the climate. But delicious. Like sweet. Not bitter at all. So...
And then other times you'll grill it, you'll cook it like in two ways to take.
Well, that's a great point too. So, in order to cover up the bitterness, when you get the really bitter radicchios, you have to either cover it with fat or cover it with sweet. And a third way to do that to kind of mask the bittery taste without adding an excessive amount of either one of those is dual cooking method. Either grilling it and then sautéing it, or roasting it at a high temperature and then chopping it up and throwing it through the pan. And then, of course, you still have to add, you know, fat to it. But it's not like, for instance, broccoli rabe or cima di rapa. When you go to the restaurant, especially in the Northeast, and you get broccoli rabe, they just drown it in butter – or no, I'm sorry, olive oil, garlic, and lemon. And it's because it's a bitter vegetable. So – when you just steam it and saute it, you have to just put a, or blanch it and saute it. You got to cover it with either fat or sweet, and they go the fat route. Whereas if you do the dual cooking method, of course, there's all we drizzle it again, but it's much, much less, and it's a more it's cleaner. So, it's cleaner.
Yeah, and it, not to say pleasant, but I love it. It's delicious.
We also pair it with fatty things like cheese. So we'll make a radicchio crostini, and I'll grill it, saute it. Normally, not a ton of olive oil, and then we'll put stracchino on the crostini, and the
stracchino's like a
soft
cow's milk cheese. Kind of think amazing cream cheese for a lack of a better example.
And though now the fat cuts the bitter, but it fat in a different way.
Or you put it underneath the pork.
Yes, or I pair it with a grilled meat, and the fat from the meat will cut the bitterness of this. So there's lots of ways to do it besides just dumping a ton of olive.
Thanks for that tip, Jay. Trying to work on my radio voice again.
So the other reasons we know it's autumn is we have started to see the cars along the road, which means that we talked about this last week, but there's four or five cars that we know that are like the serious mushroom hunter guys.
God, he was talking about it last night. He was like, when you see Franchino, the Polentone, when you see his car, you know it's time. He means business. It's funny because since it's hunting season, also normally you get the just cavalcade of like cars coming up and down the road. It's been a little quiet, but we have seen at night the boar in Giro, which has been really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about everyone in the all of us in the valley here that there is a pack of is that the right word?
Yeah, like a pack or a herd of between numbers range between 20 and 40. Soon it's going to be like there's 110 of them out there in that
but
pack.
We've definitely seen the pack. It's between the other. If anyone who's been to our house, it's between the agriturismo about 3 kilometers.
Where like the orchard is with all of the walnuts.
To the end of the valley, so about a 5K span.
All the way down to where we would turn left to go to Apecchio or right to Sant'Angelo.
And there's little ones and mama ones in front, and then we see the Vero, the big black one.
It's pretty cool, though, but it's really funny because it is. It's the talk of everyone, all of our neighbors. And have you seen the boar? Where are they now? And they're moving. They're covering some ground. But you'd always hear these stories, and I never believed it until we actually saw it. And they're out at about like 8:45, 9. And I think also the porcupine are back because Jason noticed half of our tree of apples underneath where the apples have fallen. About half of it looked like it had been vacuum cleaned perfectly. It was like you could see this dividing line of, wait, where did all the other apples go? And he was like, do you think it was the boar? I said, my God, no, because they would have just eaten everything and destroyed the front yard. It had to have been a pork or two. And sure enough, I'm sure it was. We've got normally got a family that come by and clean up.
We got great apples out of this one tree this year. The problem with it is apples, pears, grapes are really susceptible to a fungus that grows on them right as they're ripening. And if you spray, it kills the fungus and you're good to go. We don't spray with anything. So you get a window of when the apples stop getting starchy and start getting sweet, and then the rain comes and sits on the apples and molds them up, and then the worms come. So unfortunately, you know, we've gotten a good couple.
Yeah, we've made some pies and sauces and
but
desserts.
We're
and things.
Talking 100, oh my God. 100 kilos on the ground kind of thing. And the over by that tree smells like someone's making cider.
It totally does. That's
like
what I was going to say.
Fermenting apple.
The chickens love it. The chickens go over there and clean up a bunch,
I think
too.
It's the worms that are coming into the apples. But it just reeks like fermenting apples, and I know the animals like it because I woke up last year or 2 years ago? I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I go – our bathroom is down – there's a little loft place where we live. So I go downstairs, and of course, all the windows are open. So, you know, I hear this. And I freaking – the hell is that? So I flip on the light and I see all these boars just take off into the bushes. And I'm like, oh my God, they're just sitting under the apple tree, just going to town on the apples.
And there was all like the hoof prints in the yard and stuff. It was a disaster.
So no, never a dull moment living in the country.
Country living, baby. Oh my gosh. What else is going on?
Let's see. The festivals are going to start to begin the 1st of October.
Yes, always the kickoff with a Pecchio with the beer and truffles. And I think we probably talked about this last week too, but the second weekend of October is the really fun one in Sant'Angelo with the truffles and motorcycles. And it's the motorcycle rally where you'll get a whole mix of everyone in there from their Ducatis to their
BMWs, Moto Guzzis
and
dressed. We've talked about this before. It's called the Moto Raduno. And go back, if you want to hear the whole thing, go back to another podcast probably around this time last year or the year before. But the thing I love about it is you think of a motorcycle rally in North America and it's fat guys with leather on Harleys. And this is not that. This is like more of the racer bikes with skinny guys with leathers that are gorgeous, you know, the full body leathers that
fitted
that your helmet matches, your leathers matches your bikes, the whole nine. There's a little bit of the Harley thing going on, but it's much more the Euro racer.
And in the very non-litigious way of Italy, if you bring your bike, you drink for free. So that's my favorite part.
They give you a cup and you get to go to all the cantinas. And you, with that cup, you drink for free. So.
That's my favorite part. Check out the video. I'm going to repost it on Facebook this week, I think. But motorcycles and truffles and Sant'Angelo, it's my fave.
Something interesting that's happened in the last year that we haven't really touched on, but we've seen a hard push, is Amazon has come to Italy. Now, Amazon is probably – if you're listening, you've probably used Amazon for years and you're like, what's the big deal? But it's a big deal because Amazon has started the same Amazon Prime. So they're really pushing the one day free shipping and they have everything and they are undercutting anything I can find out here by like 30%.
Yes.
My problem is, and I know what you're thinking, oh my God, it's going to happen in Italy, what happened in America. Yes. Whereas the small shop is going to go away. There's electronic stores here called like Trony
and
Euronics. And I like to say they sell yesterday's brands at tomorrow's prices. Because you walk in and it's like, you know, you do your research online, you walk into one of these places and it's...
Seriously, it's like a VHS player.
I know. It's like you see the it's like, man, this is 2 years ago's model. Why can't I find the model? It's because it's 2 years ago's, but the price is the same as what you're spending today. So it drives me nuts. And also, Italians in general have been wary about doing online purchases and giving online information because of privacy. But that being said, most of my frustration with living in Italy running a business is sourcing things. And if you want to make wine or sausages or do anything that's in the Italian...
Shop in bulk at times or... Yeah.
Well, no, but like the things that you would think would be hard to find, like specialized tools for like wine industry or agriculture, like those things are no problem. But if it's out of the realm of, just like in the kitchen, if you're looking for things in the Italian kitchen, oh my God, it's everywhere. And really good quality and it's easy to find, but you get very, very near away from that. And it's
seriously
it's a disaster. So the same thing is for here. For example, were trying to organize, and the Rubbermaid makes these giant snapping totes that are really great, and they're deep and big, and you could put all that stuff in there and then stick it up in the garage, and water and bugs don't get into it, blah, blah, blah. There is nothing in Italy like that. They do have plastic totes, but they're cheap, and they're cheap quality for a lot of money. You know, you can go to any big store in America, or even Target, and get these things for $20 all day. Here they're 50 euros, and the quality's crap, and all of them have cutouts on the sides for your hands for the holders, and that defeats the purpose.
It drives me crazy. They'll have like holes on the top so you can drill it closed and totally seal it, but it's like, wait, it makes no sense. There's the hand slots on the side to carry it. What? I don't understand.
Anyway, I've been looking forever for
and twice
things.
The freaking price.
And twice the price. So, just electronics.
We've got guests coming, and they're bringing. We're gonna
trade their stay for these stupid totes.
It's hysterical.
So Amazon's come along now, and you know you can find just about everything at a really good price, and I'm interested to see how this will, because Italians, more than their wariness of shopping online, they like low price and they love quality.
True. I think that it would almost affect the big names first, like Tronian and Euronics, like you're saying, because I think that in the small towns, the hardware store for people who don't still trust online shopping, for the older generation who want to go and see the person, I'll never forget the old lady who brought in her remote control for the TV to have them change the two batteries. It's like, you will still have that for sure. But I don't know. It's hard to not see the writing on the wall.
Well, the thing is, I'll go to the hardware store because I've been dealing with this lately. And they'll say, oh, we don't have it. But I know there's another shop in Fair Mignon, Fossombrone has it. And that's the only other place. And that's 40 minutes away. Or I can order it for you. So all he's going to do is pick up the phone and order it from wherever I would order it online and then just put on 30% or whatever.
Well, so, I think a huge thing for the sourcing is not only the cost for you, is the time.
The time. It's really the time. So I run around this region looking for stuff all the time, and it's driving me absolutely insane. So, I think it'll affect these out-of-date big ones first, because the small hardware store still has a place here, the small specialty store. Mm-hmm. But it maybe in 10 years, I will see. It's just interesting that there was nothing like that here even 5 years ago, and now it's come on. We just see it's just come on with such force. There's advertising for Amazon everywhere. And I've started to use it a couple times, and it's like, oh, man.
Or it's funny, you'll have someone like Gaji who is starting to dabble in it he won't go online to do it, but Jason, you're good with the computer. Can you try to look these brake pads up for me or whatever it might be?
So here's an interesting, Gaji needed new brake pads for his, he's the only guy, Chicho, stop hissing. The mechanic said, I can order them for you. They're like 200 euros. And Gaji goes, Jason, go to you, because he knows I buy all the auto parts online, and just give it to the mechanic, because his price per hour of labor is great, but he just kills me on the parts for my little crappy car. So we found his brake pads for $50. Mm-hmm. So now Gaji kind of sees the value in doing something like that. So, yeah, he won't do it himself.
No.
But he'll have me do
it. He's dabbling.
Interesting. Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we live in the third world of Europe. So it's finally coming.
Oh, and didn't you see how Italy had the worst internet?
That's a fact. We read an article how Italy has the slowest internet in Europe and the least amount of people connected to that slow internet. And the technology minister or whatever came out and said by like 2025 we'll be at whatever, I don't remember what it was, 25 megabits per second. I'm not getting this right. And the by 2025. And the article pointed out that Sweden today has 45. So where will Sweden be by 2025?
Still twice as far ahead of us.
so you're saying this will... So what you're saying is this is just going to continue for the future, the near future, distant future.
Which is why we say that the Amazon will be a slow burn, but it's coming. It is.
You can't deal... It's just efficiency. It's just so much more efficient. All right, moving on. Visa. Or not Visa, but Permesso di soggiorno.
So it's that time of year.
Immigration.
Yes. And classically, our permission to stay, our permesso di soggiorno, was expired September 3rd. We had all of our paperwork in at the beginning of June.
We were super early.
And
still didn't show up.
We get a text the other day that it should be ready on the 29th of September. So
not bad this year,
though.
Bad. We only walked around with it expired for a month.
Yeah. But what was great.
Now, mind you, I say that. Sorry to interrupt you. It's not like we ever get it in late, because one thing we can't screw around with is immigration here. We have to stay on top of it. So we always turn in our paperwork before our card expires. However, the Italian government seems to have more of a laissez-faire attitude towards when they...
We get it back to you.
So
when it is ready, it is ready.
Yeah. If Italy wants to take 9 months to issue my card, I have to walk around with an expired card for 9 months.
In fact, I was submitting something for a new Partita IVA, a new fiscal business tax code, and they needed your – since I'm a foreigner, they needed my permesso di soggiorno, and it says that it was expired. And he said, oh, that's no problem. And then they got back and said, we just need to see the... I said, you need to see the new one when it comes, because I'm still waiting for it. And I was getting nervous. And they said, no. We know it can take time. Just the receipt. Just a copy of the receipt was all that was needed.
So that's all you need here. I think we talked about this, is you need the stupid receipt from the post office saying you paid for the new one. That's it. That's good for...
like 2 years, I think.
So ours will be here, hopefully, with no complications, knock on wood, on the 28th.
Well, there shouldn't be, because you greased the wheels
right.
A little.
So, little fun thing about Italy, it's all about personal relationships. So now
It really is.
Now that we've been here in 8-9 years.
Going on 10 this winter.
We see the same stern guy at the...
The bald-headed, yeah.
The same two guys in the immigration office.
At the Questura
in Urbino. Now for going on almost 10 years. So,
yeah, and the Questura is at the police station.
Yeah,
they are
Carabinieri.
Yeah.
Well,
some people have no idea.
These men do not warm to foreigners quickly. I don't really think it matters whether you're American, African, or from Timbuktu. You get the same stern, you get no smiles and the same stern look. So finally, after all these years, he says, oh, come on. Candeliano. Oh, yeah, we go there once a week to check up on the refugees down the road. I guess they just roll by, give them the stink eye to let them know we got an eye on you guys.
We were like, oh, we'll come. He was like, next time I'm in the area, we'll drive by.
So I said, yeah, we're always there. Stop by, have a coffee. So thinking maybe they will, maybe they won't. Well, sure enough, about 2 months later, on a Saturday, you get out of the car in plain clothes. And he comes up, smiles, ciao, buongiorno. You don't remember me, do you? That's because I am not in my costume and I have a beautiful smile because I am in the countryside. Totally different guy. I was like, oh my God, it's the Carabinieri who just gives me the stink eye.
I know. He's always pretty nice to me, but the other guy he was with is the really grumpy one who I never see really talk. He doesn't look up from his computer. He just kind of grunts. Commands at you, and yet they were both just chill. The other one had like his fanny pack on ready.
So they come walk around, we chat for a minute, we offer them a coffee.
They're impressed with the garden.
They like the garden. It was this was in August, so it was a warm, you know, a beautiful morning out, so we sat outside under the shade for a couple of minutes and talked about the garden. And you know, they obviously, you know, everyone has a garden, so he was saying how whatever his tomato. I don't remember what
it was. I think
it was
the tomatoes.
Whatever.
Well.
So I throw together a you know, a nice basket of tomatoes and whatever was that I picked that morning. We got tons of it coming off the garden, and I think he didn't really want to take it because he's a, you know,
it's, yeah.
He was a little trepidation. I'm like, listen, it's just a bunch of vegetables. Just take the vegetables. There, and here's the thing to get a talent. Well, those kind of, here's the secret to get people to take a gift when it's. There, it's not a gray area, but, you know, it's like...
It's a little grease in it, but it's
Here's
not.
What you say. It's not for you. This is for your wife or for your kids or for your mother. Or this is for your family. This is not for you. This is for your family for lunch or for your wife for lunch or whatever mm-hmm. it is that you're giving them. And I learned it from Fusciani because he was greasing someone, and he was giving him a bunch of prosciuttos and salamis and all this stuff, and the guy's like, no, I can't take it, no, and he said, it's not for you, it's for your mother, and that was it.
And he said, you wouldn't want to, your mother loves prosciutto and whatnot, doesn't she? Yes. Well, you wouldn't want her to not have this. This is beautiful prosciutto.
This is so beautiful. This is not for you. This is for your mother. So, guy takes it. So that must be the magic words. So,
for your mother.
So, long story short, yeah.
And I was in the kitchen the whole time thinking, we were in the middle of doing something. And it was like, what the hell is he doing out there? And why is he forcing this freaking vegetable basket on this guy? And I had no idea.
So he takes the thing. They say thank you. They leave. Ashley's like, what? You know, what was that? I goes, that is the best investment I've ever made in my entire life. Those vegetables will pay off tenfold for the next until we have our citizenship.
Exactly.
3 weeks later, we get a text from him.
No, phone call.
Was it a phone call?
Yeah, he called.
It was a phone call from him personally. Ciao, thank you for the vegetables, blah, 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 blah. Your Permesso di Soggiorno will be here on the 29th of September. Come on in at 4 o'clock. See you then.
Grazie mille.
9 years. This has never happened. We will get a letter sometimes 2 or 3 days after our appointed time,
mm-hmm.
Which is the way that the customs are controlling your box
for mail,
they will send you a letter saying you must respond to this by X date, which was 3 or 4 days ago. So
every single time.
Excuse me. So we got a personal phone call. We got a beautiful afternoon date. No crazy, you know, 8 in the morning or... you know, right before dinner, you know, 6:30 in the afternoon. Nope. So that is a great little example of how Italy works and how important it is, especially out here in the countryside, personal relationships.
It's also sometimes advantageous to use what you got in the sense of when you go to the Coldoretti is our farmers union out here. And gosh, early on, we got onto this. Maybe it was after one of the first times we went. Coldoretti, when you go to the farmers union, it is filled with people with about 3 teeth and no one under the age of 66 or so. And I'll tell you what, that parking lot's full of Panda 4x4s. And so if you walk in there with what we affectionately call a booby shirt, things are going to get done and you're going to get noticed. And they're going to call you when your paperwork's in. They're going to shoot you personal emails. And it works every time. And it's amazing.
Well, normally, what's the system of getting an appointment at Coldoretti? How do you have to do it?
Oh, my God. It's horrific. You have to go in there before they open. The doors open at 8:30, and you better be there by 8:15, waiting outside. And maybe 8:45, they'll open the door. And then you go inside, and hopefully you were the first one there. Normally someone else is in front of you that you've been talking to about tractors or who knows, or the immigrant or the refugiati or who knows what they're talking about. Then you wait in this like school-style hallway. It reminds me of like a weird school hallway with just like some chairs lined up and you're waiting to go into the principal's office.
Yellowing posters from 10 years
ago.
Oh
my God. And when they use English, it's hysterically wrong. Party for farmers or what is no farmers, no party. I have no idea what that means. And you just wait. And everyone starts asking who's waiting for who. And
It's a luck of the draw. The person, could take 5 minutes or it could take
an hour and a half.
If they're writing a contract, you wait. I mean, they write the contract right there and they sign it and the whole nine, and it can be an hour for one person.
But sometimes Alessio pops his head out and sees me and then goes, oh, what did you need? Come right over real quick. And he'll slide me off to the side. And I'm quick. I'm easy. I'm not there to bust chops. I'll shoot him an email about what I need beforehand. But, man, a boob shirt goes a long way out here.
So we learned that early and often that you send, because traditionally it should be me going.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. I mean, Pierangelo the farmer won't talk to me about how much the wood costs. I can't give the guy a check or cash to save my life to pay him off. But you got to know your audience. Go to the Farmers Union. It's just a little, you know,
send Ashley.
Brighten your day a little bit. And, oh, how you doing? Da, da, da. I like it. Know your audience.
Know your audience.
Oh, my God. And speaking of, Jason was so excited because he recently got a pair of Carhartt
overalls, yeah.
And he has been rocking them every time he goes to the hardware store because he thinks he gets more respect. And yesterday he decided to accessorize, and that means putting like a he was looking for like a awesome pencil and tape measure, and I think he put an X-Acto knife in there.
No,
and
the box opener.
Oh, yeah, that's
the only thing that fit. I noticed when I
and
wore
like a stained shirt. I was like, "Your shirt looks like it's got coffee stains down the front," and he was like, "I know."
So, I have a problem with, especially this time of year when I go from shorts to pants, is jeans just get caught up on fencing and you rip jeans. Levi's just get destroyed. And Levi's
bust out the knees a lot.
I bust out the knees, because I kneel down. So I know a lot of people who know about this are like, yeah, no duh. But Carhartt, it's a type of, construction worker pants and jackets and like double thick
knees. I
think
that they're their thing on their website said something like black strong coffee in the morning before work, beers and brews with the guys at night or something like that for the, something.
But the pants, like they're not to go out in. They're not to.
No, they're work.
They're work pants, but they're super comfortable and they're really great.
No, but Jason's going out in them.
I did wear them to town the other day. But I got pants and I got the overalls and I want to get whole coveralls. But I feel like a real workman. And I noticed when I walked into the hardware store I don't normally go to, I got real good attention. Like, the guy came right over.
Hot too. Oh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy's a, like, normally they can tell I'm a foreigner and
Jason's
I'm usually
in there
like,
in, like
crazy shorts and ripped t-shirt.
Basketball shorts.
Yeah. But this time I walk in and boot, like, work boots and overalls.
He means business.
He did. He gave me respect. So yesterday I was going back to the hardware store I normally go to, and I decided to see if it worked, but it didn't because they know me already.
No, and I think they teased you for playing with all the tools. Are you done touching everything, sir? Oh, good times. Good times.
Oh, I want to thank I want to thank two people in particular, and they know who they are, who emailed me about projects I could do with my vertical shaft motor from the Rider. Thank you, guys. I'm probably not going to do anything because I don't have the room or the but I will. What I think I'm going to do is just find a riding lawnmower that's dead that someone blew the engine on and swap them out. Because I don't have time to make a hovercraft or the room or the know-how.
No, but you sure like
I sure like wasting my time looking online
about it.
Oh, my
God. He loves it. He loves it.
But I have started getting good tools. My hand tools are terrible, like screwdrivers and sockets and all that. So I'm done buying cheap crap and going to buy good tools. And there's another hobby that costs a lot of money.
Well, I know.
Tools are expensive.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
We live in the country.
You need them.
You do. So, shall we do a little food talk?
Yeah, this week we wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in the kitchen a little bit. And aside from the jarring... Oh, do you want to talk about, oh, LTM present? Okay, at the end. Okay, aside from the jarring and preserving that we're doing with the tomatoes and the peppers and all of that stuff, one thing I'm going to try to force my guests this autumn to eat is more rabbit. Now, I know what you're thinking. Rabbit. It's
the Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny. Come on. Come on, get real. Rabbit is something that's maybe hard to find for you, but ask a butcher, and I'm sure that it's not hard for them to find.
It's super lean. It's full of protein. It tastes very similar to chicken, if you've never had it. And it's really, really nice.
It's a really light, white, lean meat. And it's not difficult to cook. You just have to keep some things in mind. Because it's a lean, white meat, it doesn't have a lot of fat. It dries out kind of easily. So most of the recipes you'll find will be a stew of rabbit or rabbitine umido in some kind of liquid, like braised. They will wrap the rabbit in – the recipe will be for it wrapped in some kind of fat, either pork fat or bacon or something like that. If you try to just grill rabbit or roasted rabbit like you would roast a chicken, let's say – tends to come out dry. You can barbecue it, but you have to kind of cook it quick and know what you're doing, and it's best to debone it, I would think. Like, if you want to cook a rabbit leg on the barbecue, it's going to end up kind of being dry before it's really cooked. That if you don't wrap it in a fat.
It's really common to find out here. When you're going to grocery stores or markets or butchers, quite often you'll see rabbit in the display case, almost always with the head on as well.
Fun fact, the rabbit will have the head on because back in the day they would kill cats. And because the body of a cat is very similar to that of a rabbit. They'd skin them, chop them up, and you really couldn't tell the difference. So now whenever you see rabbit, it always has the head on to let you know that it's really a rabbit.
Gross. That's just a god. But so we talked about why you should try rabbit, how you should try rabbit in the sense of the style of the cooking. Skip the barbecue. Stick to more of the ways to keep it nice and moist. Can you give us a good example? Give us one of your favorites. I know you just did – well, normally you do the braised.
Normally I do a braised rabbit in vinegar and sage and garlic. You can also do it.
And that's in pieces.
That's in pieces. You can also do it in tomatoes. So like cacciatore, like a hunter style.
The other day you did just the legs, the back legs.
Yeah. The other day I did the back legs cause I didn't want to deal with all the little.
No, but that was really nice. I liked it.
Here they cut up a rabbit in pieces, the loin just straight down. So when they chop it up with the big giant knife, a lot of the times the small rib bones will. It's more of an eat it. I think that's why people a lot of the times here, it's not that they don't like the rabbit. It's that it's hard to eat. It's a country dish. You pick it up and you just suck the meat off the bones.
Yep.
and it's freaking delicious. But I think especially when it's like we do it for cooking classes and it's groups of people together.
No one wants to be that guy.
Yeah. but it's absolutely delicious. So you'll see it in umido, like in liquid, either a white. Either something like white wine or vinegar or in tomatoes and stuff like
that. And you did
like
fennel with something with the fennel.
Wild fennel. One way they do it out here is in Coniglio in the style of porchetta, where they'll stuff it with a whole bunch of they'll stuff it with a paste of fat and herbs and all that. And they'll I don't think they wrap it in prosciutto. No, but I know they keep basting the rabbit throughout the cooking process with that fat that comes down. And that's a way to roast it. So again, they're curing the way to cure the drying out is to constantly baste it in fat, and that's delicious. The French do rabbit, of course, confit of rabbit, and that is braising it in fat. And they'll put the rabbit legs under salt and herbs and garlic in a press, so that presses the water out, and then they'll put it into a casserole with fat, like all the way to the top, like boiling it. And then put it into the oven at a very, very low temperature, and it almost poaches in fat.
What about when we had the French style with beans on toast?
That was, I think, braised because it was just shredded.
Okay.
So it was probably braised in some way.
That was so good, too.
You'll find it a lot of ways like that. Most of the time, it'll be seared and then braised and either finished on the stovetop or finished in the oven. But check it out.
Give it a shot.
Give
Seriously.
Rabbit a try.
Or at the very least, when you're traveling to Italy next, give it a shot.
Or if you see it on a menu, give it a shot. Most likely, you'll find in your grocery store, unless you live in a community, rural community, that'll have it, is frozen rabbit. All right. C'est la vie. It's not the end of the world. But, you know, especially if you're on a diet where you want lots of protein and not a lot of fat in it, it's tons of protein. It's really, really good.
I thought that was Gaji. I thought I heard the door downstairs.
No, I think it was the wind.
He likes to barge in and just go, hey, ladri. Hey, thieves. So let's talk about what's coming up.
We're going to try to stay ahead of the game this year. So we are going to get our 2017 program for La Tavola Marche out before we end the season.
It's already up, baby.
Oh, it's already up. Look at Ashley.
At least most of it. There's still a few details to come, ..
So we are here at Cacamone through the end of 2017. We Cacamone, are going nowhere.
Yep, sorry to talk over you. The same old farmhouse that we were from the very beginning. So we're here for one more year, and then we switch it up. But yes, we wanted to get everything out early so you guys could start planning your calendar for next year, too. And we've talked about, like Jason said earlier, some of the pickle preserve confit course we're going to do. We're getting the gelato machine, which we're super excited about. Oh, another one that has just been confirmed is we're going to start a Dinner with a Winemaker series. And the first one will be this October, date to be announced, with Luca from Terra Cruda. And it's great because this is going to be your opportunity to have an intimate dinner, just a laid back dinner in our farmhouse with a real Italian family style winemaker, like small style industry where they're not doing, you know, their biggest wine they do 2,000 some bottles of, and you can ask. We're picking winemakers that speak a little English, so that way you can really ask them the questions and they can really understand and reply versus always having a translator back and forth.
Or when they're at work.
Or when they're at work and they've got stuff to do. So for him, he's super excited because he was like, yeah, tell me the date and I'd love to come. And so what we're going to do is a wine pairing with dinner. And Jason will even incorporate wine into some of the dishes as well. And then a lovely dinner with the winemaker, and you have your opportunity to ask your questions, find out about their production, taste their wines, and get to know, I told you, someone's downstairs, get to know a new local, well, new for you, but a Marche winemaker. So I think it'll be a really cool thing that we're going to be doing. Also, we are super excited to announce that No Half Measures, our consulting side, will be presenting a workshop at La Tavola Marche. Get that? Putting them together. And we don't have a good title for it yet, so work with us here. But it's going to be a 3-4-day workshop for people who are looking to move to Italy and want to open a bed and breakfast or hospitality business. And
a small business in Italy. It doesn't have to be in the food sector.
No, our specialty is obviously customer service and hospitality. But this is going to be your opportunity to come out and learn from the best, guys. I'm just joking. This is a great time to, if you've been dreaming of moving to Italy to start a business, this will be your opportunity to come out and ask questions.
Have a taste.
Have a taste. Kind of the reality check of it too. We're going to be super honest. It's not going to be sugar-coated, but it's going to be full of our experiences here. We were going to kind of do little TED Talks in the afternoons as our workshops and have Fabio, our commercialista, come in and talk about tax structure and starting a business and how you do that. And
we'll have some of our friends who own other businesses in more of the small businesses in hospitality and
food.
What's it like to be in more of a town or a city like a huge city like Rome, and how is their experience different from that of ours? Because it's night and day.
It's totally night and day. So it's going to be a focus on the business side. We'll talk a little bit about housing and real estate, marketing, operations, of course, a bit on a bit on hospitality, culture, and the life of both being an expat and running a business as an expat. Understanding your clients and what it's like to be a small business owner. I think that we'll have a lot to cover. All your questions will be answered for sure. And
it's a good way if you've always if you're no matter where in the process you are, whether you've really done a lot of research and you've got things on paper and you're going forward, or if it's just something you've been kicking around forever and think it would be, you know, it's a small investment to get a lot of information, I think.
I totally agree. And we'll keep it to about 10 people, and I think it'll be great. And we'll give you a slice of what it's like if you are interested in the B&B innkeeper life. You will see what it really looks like. And I think that I'm really excited to put this together. So we're looking at doing this in the early spring, and we'll keep you guys posted. Much more to come on this.
If you're interested, contact Ashley.
Yeah, you can shoot me an email at info.
Be done.
Oh, all right.
So you just wrap all right. Let's.
I'm getting hungry too.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to end. Thank you guys so much for joining us and downloading. I make no promises about when the next one will be.
Nope.
Absolutely not. We got a lot of work coming up. The second half of the season really gets into fifth gear. It's revving up here pretty soon. So I can probably guarantee you not one for at least a couple of weeks.
No. Happy Halloween, you guys. That'll be the next time.
All right, bring us home.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening. You can find all of our Farm Inn and Cooking School details for La Tavola Marche at LATAVOLAMARCHE.com. And you can find us there on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at La Tavola Marche. If you're looking for consulting on moving to Italy, or you would like film work done out here, you can find us at you can find us at nhmblog.com or info@nhmfilms, and always on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Ciao.